What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And let me tell you, the problem in our human race is sin, and the only covering for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. And what we ought to be marching around talking about is the blood of Jesus Christ, and the healing of Jesus Christ, and the unity of Jesus Christ, and the covering of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid a price he did not owe.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Vision is Essential.
For 7 years, our deacon said, Pastor, if that's what we need to do to get it going, we're standing behind you. It took faith. And it's been a faith journey all along the way at Lancaster Baptist Church. And now here we are. And it will take faith to come through this year and to be stronger for it and to see God working in the midst of it. And we need some men in this church. And I'm crying out to you this morning as I preach, as I see you sitting in your home and sitting in this church. I'm crying out to say we need men like Caleb, who in verse number 30 said, let us possess it. We are able to overcome it. Every day the devil shouts in our ears, it can't be done, it can't be done. Look how bad it is, and some of us need to get our eyes off the television and up to heaven seeking the face of God. Amen. Caleb was a man with a heavenly vision. Numbers 13 in verse 2, send thou men and search the land of Canaan, and they did, they went out. But you see, God had promised this land, don't you remember that? God had said, this is the land for my people. Genesis 12, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget it. Genesis 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families be blessed. You say, I don't understand that. Why did God choose Israel? I don't know. I'm not God. And some of you say, well, I've had some Jewish people treat me rudely, and so have I. Listen, I don't understand all of the ways of God. I understand this, that he chose the children of Israel to be the apple of his eye, and he says the friend of Israel will be blessed. And you mark it down, these God haters in our country are Israel haters as well. But I want you to understand today that there's rage in this world, and much of it against Israel. And God had promised Caleb, and God had promised Abraham that he would give this land to them. Now listen to me. Faith is starting out before figuring out how it's gonna work out. That's what Caleb did. He stepped out before he could figure it out. It was based on God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Caleb's faith was blessed by the power of God. Think of the words of Moses to Caleb, Joshua 14 and verse 9. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Listen, Moses had said, that land is your land. And Caleb just believed God. And we need some men today that will believe God. Right? We're going to have to rise up, not just the pastor's faith, all of our faith. All of us believing God. Oh, listen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I see in this man, Caleb, a vision of faith. I know what's happening today. There's a falling away. There's a falling apart. There's young people saying, well, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I want to go to church anymore. I'm just not sure. Oh, yes, there's apathy. There's questions. There's denials. There's falling away. But those that are truly the born-again children of God have something, have someone living in them. And that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring us back to the Bible, bring us back to the house of God, bring us to a place of wanting to see God do a great and mighty work. There's a vision of faith. I want you to see, secondly, the spirit of faith in Caleb. The spirit of faith. Notice this in chapter 14. And if you would notice, for just the sake of time, I want you to see here, beginning in about verse 8, as we hear Joshua and Caleb, they say, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Do you understand that when the signers of the Declaration of Independence signed, there was no guarantee that they would live? Do you know how easy it would have been for them to say, I'm going to move back to England? They were wealthy men. Or if they didn't move back, they could have pledged their allegiance to the king. Instead, they signed the Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get all in for God today. Amen. And this is what Joshua and Caleb were saying. The Lord will give us the land. And that's what our forefathers said. How many of you are thankful they said that? So, did everybody get happy for Joshua and Caleb? Oh, thank you, Joshua and Caleb. Well, let's see how the congregation responds. Verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. There's the majority of the people, right? There's a spirit of faith here. Even in the midst of being stoned, Caleb made the decision to follow God. I'm telling you, now I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. The day could come in corporate America, because we see what corporate America is doing. They're bowing down, right? They're bowing down to the revolutionaries. The revolutionaries are saying, you say this. You put this flag under the American flag. Come on. And corporate America's, oh yes, oh yes. It may get to the place where born-again Christians are asked to sign and agree with things to keep their job. Oh, there's protections at the Supreme Court to keep your job if you're gay. What about if you're a Christian? What kind of rights are they going to have in the future? I don't know. I'm just saying, we respect Joshua and Caleb. There's a whole book in the Bible named Joshua. We respect these men, do we not? Yes or no? Why? Because they stood and they believed God when no one else believed God. There are people in this room, and there are people watching on this LBCLive.tv who are currently filled with fear. It's a prevalent problem in America today, and yes, with Christians too. Fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety plaguing people's hearts. And can I tell you, some today are fearing for their health. Some are fearing for their finances. Some fear crime. Some fear the M80s that go off incessantly at night. Some fear relationships. And it's not wrong to have some initial fear, but the psalmist said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. You see. Fear should drive us to the Savior, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Oh, how we need this spirit of faith today. When people start fearing, they start making some very, very wrong decisions spiritually. You don't want a pastor whose decision-making is based on what I fear, except it be the Lord himself. Amen. That's Fear is a liar. There was a poll in London this past week from a company called the Santander Company, like Gallup polls. According to the survey, older adults have been hit hard with loneliness. 75% of those over 55 say they're struggling mentally right now during this pandemic. And they do. I remember after 9/11 took place, how difficult it was for people for weeks and months. People would walk into this church for days and weep. And there are people right now wondering, and they see on the news and they wonder, can I go to the store? They're lonely, they're fearful. 2/3 of those surveyed admitted that they haven't tried to speak to anybody about how they feel. You'll love this. 40% have begun coping by overindulgence of food. 40%. Now, I don't think I've been trying to cope with food, but I did get on the scales this morning and I said to Terry, it is a lot easier to gain weight than it is to lose weight, isn't it? <laughs> 25% of people said they've coped with overindulging in alcohol. There's a lot of people, and by the way, last night as I was passing out tracts, nobody said to me, I don't take those. Lonely, hurting people need the love of God. They don't need a fearful church. They need a faith-filled church. Peace. Peace is not found in the absence of trouble. It is found in the presence of God. There are places that I can go in my mind or even physically. They're peaceful places. There are places where there's no human population. The scariest thing might be a jackrabbit or a deer. But my peace is not depending and dependent upon being where there's the absence of trouble. Peace is found in the presence of God. And what we need today is not a new address, it's not new circumstances. We need a revival of our heart to become greater men and women of God like Joshua and Caleb, who when the whole congregation wanted to stone them, they said, we're going to follow God. He had the right belief in his heart. Notice in chapter 14 there in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us to it. Oh, he said in verse 9, the Lord is with us. Do you understand this morning that fear weakens, but faith strengthens? Fear imprisons, but faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Fear disheartens, but faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. We must go forward in faith. Amen. I heard of a man that returned to his cabin where he and his wife were spending their vacation. And he was cut and scraped. And as he walked back in the cabin, his wife said, what in the world happened to you? He said, honey, I saw a snake. She said, don't you remember the ranger told us that the snakes up here are not poisonous? To which he said, they don't have to be poisonous if they can make you jump off a 20-foot cliff. Fear. Fear. What you fearing today? What are you worried about today? Job, economy, country, children, grandchildren, health. We all have these burdens. But what is fear really? Fear is a false expectation appearing real. It's a false expectation appearing real. It grips the heart. And the only way that fear is canceled is by faith. by faith in the Lord. Caleb had the right beliefs. Caleb had the right heart attitude. Notice in verse 24 of this same chapter 14, Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him. Oh, I love this Caleb. How it helped me to study his life this week. How I've prayed, God, I don't know if I'll preach. It would be a small crowd in each service. We're having these social distance service. But God, I don't want to preach based upon the size of a crowd. God, I want to preach for you today. And I want you to understand that Caleb had another spirit. And we need some men in this church with another spirit. Not the spirit of fear. Oh, notice that in verse 24. And he followed me faithfully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Hebrews 13 and 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do unto me. Oh, we do not need today a depressive spirit, a critical spirit, a doubting spirit. We need the spirit that Caleb had, a spirit of faith. Ephesians 4:23, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Renewed in the spirit of our mind. Listen, a person that is in the flesh never has a right spirit. I've been around long enough to see when my spirit's right or not so right, or when your spirit's right or not so right. But I'm going to tell you, yours or mine are never right when we're walking in the flesh. We must walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to keep our spirit right. Daniel 6 and 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Difficult times require men and women to rise up with an excellent spirit. This church needs to become the can-do church. This church needs to become the church that says God is able. And if God can do it in California, God can do it anywhere. This needs to be a people that keep believing and keep trusting and keep singing and keep praying and keep encouraging one another. And people ought to walk into Lancaster Baptist when this fear comes over and this cloud passes by. They ought to be able to walk into the church and say, there's something different about those people. They still believe in God. Because I'm telling you, churches are going to be closing across this country. They are changing across this country. These changes are happening everywhere. Somewhere there ought to be a people that still believe the Bible's the word of God, that still believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that still believe God created man and woman, that still believe that there is a way to heaven and it can be found through Christ. Listen, we ought to be the people of Caleb in this generation. Another spirit. He had a right belief. He had a right attitude. He had a right devotion. He followed God. Verse 24 says, fully. I see that this man had a vision of faith. He had a spirit of faith. And I want to say, finally, I want you to see the fervency of his faith. He had a very fervent faith. Now, I've been saved some time. I was saved in 1972. And I have seen great Christians who have stayed the same their whole life. I've seen preachers, I've pastored great people, and I still do. But to keep a fervent spirit your whole life, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by autopilot. How do you remain fervent in your faith? Because many Christians don't. Well, I say, first of all, that remains fervent by remaining in love with Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse 8 that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. This would indicate a dedication. It would indicate a devotion. And I know we need to have some times of break, but I want you to understand, hot, cold, winter, summer, work, vacation, we ought never stop loving the one who redeemed us. Amen. Caleb fully followed the Lord. It was a lasting fervency. The day that Caleb came to Joshua in this chapter, he was 85 years old. fully following God at age 85. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. I want you to notice these few verses as we close. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake of his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I'm strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and how the cities were great and fenced in. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And as the Lord hath said, I want you to hear the 85-year-old man saying, give me that mountain. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain where the milk and the honey flows. And hey, I know it's COVID. I know you're tired. I know sometimes people worry and they're even telling us not to sing in church and all of these types of things, but somebody's got to say, I'm going to keep pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I want to be faithful to God up into my 80s, and until I hear the trumpet call me home. Oh, listen, the Bible says in Judges 1 and 20, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb. They gave Hebron unto Caleb. Hey, he got his mountain because he never took his eyes off of Jesus Christ. He never bailed out with his parachute. He never had a plan B. He followed plan A all the way to the end, following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb was a man of great faith, and I want to encourage you, that faith gave him a great vision. So how's your vision? I want to encourage you, don't lose it. Don't lose your vision, bus workers. And I spent several hours this week on where the routes will go and who the workers will be, and a brand new program for them when they come. We're writing a new curriculum. We're going to teach the bus children that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're going to teach them how precious life is. We're going to teach them that God created male and female. We're going to teach them that God sent his son Jesus to die for them. Listen, don't lose your vision, Sunday school teacher. You may not have a class right now, but the class is coming. Don't lose your vision. Hey, don't lose your vision, ushers. I know we're just having a few socially distanced, but the folks are coming. Don't lose your vision for the missionaries. They're going to be back here, and they'll be preaching and telling us what's going on. Listen, I'm saying today, let's not lose our vision for Lancaster, for the Antelope Valley, for this nation. Let's have a vision like Caleb that says, I want that mountain. And I know someone's going to throw a stone at the vision. Someone's going to say it's old-fashioned. Someone's going to criticize. I'm telling you, I can't post something on, if I post it on social media, God bless America, somebody's going to cuss me out for saying it. It happens every single day of my life. And guess what? I still want that mountain. All we can give him is our best, but one of those things we're going to give him is a pure vision and a clear vision and a fervent vision. And we're going to say, God, give us that mountain. Because the world is changing around us, but you are unchanging, and we will follow you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. And take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.